Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
Well, Javier, I liked this sort of mini bidding war for Randy Orton's services. He comes back, not officially part of the last draft, so it made sense he'd be a free agent, and I think that's the case. I don't think they drafted him. I'm quite positive. So he is up for grabs, and Pierce shows up, and Aldis and Pierce make offers. Adam Pierce says he gets the winner of the Jey Uso-Seth Rollins match, which is quite the pitch. And Nick Aldis says, I'll let you get your hands on the people who took you out, the bloodline. Paul Heyman comes out, says, I'll make the decision for you. Solo and Jimmy Uso run out and attack him, the idea being that will discourage Orton from wanting to be on SmackDown. Of course, we know better. And Orton, with the help of LA Knight, cleared the ring and then picked up both contracts and signed the SmackDown one. And so Randy Orton is on SmackDown. So, Javier, I want to get your thoughts on how they built up Orton's appearance, the kind of bidding war thing, the Aldis Pierce interaction. And then I also want to get into what this means for CM Punk 2 and the ramifications potentially of Orton giving Nick Aldis an unprovoked RKO. But first, focusing on just kind of the storyline that they told throughout the show with the contracts. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was a neat way to handle the Randy Orton thing. I also glad to see him over on SmackDown because it feels like they do need the star power with Rey Mysterio out and it was kind of weird because like the entire week I've been listening to your content and I'm like and some of the questions of who Orton's opponent is I'm always yelling at my radio, it's going to be Reigns, man, it's going to be Reigns. It just makes sense at this point.
Yeah.
It makes sense, you know, just for the Royal Rumble, you know, Randy Orton's not going to be a real threat. I'm pretty sure that's the direction they're going to be heading. Overall, I liked it. Also liked, find it interesting that they also had, LA Knight come out and make the save. Having him, rub shoulders with, Randy Orton, it'll be interesting to see the dynamic between the two of them since, they both have bad blood with the bloodline, so we will, it definitely felt like it breathed some life into SmackDown, which I think was needing it.
It really was, yeah. SmackDown was at risk, especially with CM Punk showing up Monday and the Judgment Day and Rhea Ripley and Dominic and just, you know, things going well over there lately, and Seth being a full-time world champion and Reigns being an absentee world champion in terms of being a weekly fixture on the show. A lot of things were pointing towards Raw. And plus, Raw is still, you know, it seems, to the best of our knowledge, not settled on a home next contract. So maybe a little more emphasis put on Raw than SmackDown because SmackDown's got its next deal locked up. Yeah, you hate to think they take their foot off the pedal of making SmackDown a strong show just because they get USA on the hook for a new deal. But you know, human nature and business is such where they're going to move their focus. So, yeah, Orton moving over there adds some balance, especially with Ray going down. And, yeah, Orton against Reigns. So you've been listening and going, Orton against Reigns. Talk about that. How do you think – I mean, I assume we're going to get an Orton and Knight against Jimmy and Solo match sooner than later, and that'll be kind of a lead-in for Roman. But how do they get to – Orton Reigns, and when did they get to it? Is that Royal Rumble? Do they save it? Do they do it sooner? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the Rumble match. It's just you don't really need to do too much to build up Orton versus Reigns because it's freaking Orton. So, he's definitely not like on the same level as Cena in terms of like Cena only comes in just for the big pay per views because you know Orton's around. But I think that's it's just a simple thing. For that, you know, to draw, because you also don't need to, you know, do like a super build job for Royal Rumble because you're going to watch Royal Rumble for the Rumble itself. And, you know, having Orton and Reigns in a match that, you know, Orton's not going to win, I think ultimately is, you know, that's fine. But, it, you know, but at the same time, adds a little bit something to it.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. I think Orton and Reigns feels fresh and big time, and just flat out Reigns needs a fresh opponent. You know, I mean, LA Knight is not, you know, I mean, LA Knight's good and he's good in a second, third, fourth babyface role, but I don't think you can sustain him right now the way that he's been framed and featured, and his mic and in-ring performances. They're, you know, borderline. If you, in a pinch, you could, but Orton is a bigger star and has been away for a year and a half, and they already, you know, used LA Knight as an opponent for Reigns. So I like this, but I like keeping LA Knight in the mix, and I think he'll get a rub from being with Randy. I don't think one will turn on the other, but that is always a possibility with either of them that could happen if that's the way they kind of want to move once they get past Orton against Reigns. So I like it, and Orton seemed happy to be there, but not quite as over the top as he was Monday on Raw. But so far, so good for Randy. He is as thick as he was. He had been more lean in recent years. I mean, lean for pro wrestler main event standards in WWE. But he had been more lean recently, and you'd see old pictures of him, and you're like, oh, man, he looks bloated, and you know, the neck muscles are bulging. And he's back to looking very, very filled out and thicker. And I don't know if that's needed for him, but he definitely looks different. And if that matters to anybody in terms of him seeming like more of a threat, he does seem like he's feeling healthy enough to hit the gym a lot more and everything else that goes along with that. Does Orton seem that fresh to you? And are you liking what you see so far, Javier?
Yeah, I mean, I've always just found him fun at this point, or where he's basically max leveled, and I'm not really expecting to see too much new from him. I liked him hitting Aldis with the RKO at the end, because it's, you know, and him looking like all sheepish, like, what do you expect from me? It's, you know, I'm the Viper, that's what I do. Going to be interested to see if this turns
Aldis
on him. So
it should. That was totally unprovoked. By the way, I wasn't a fan when Stone Cold, like, giving Stone Cold stunners indiscriminately to people, and like, was it Stacy who he gave it to, or who was the woman just out of nowhere he gave like a stunner to? I even told Steve that on a podcast. He didn't.
Yeah,
like
Stacy Keebler, I'm pretty sure he hit one.
Yeah.
And then I think Moolah and Mae Young, all of those.
Yeah, and I don't like to cartoonize a finisher, and that's what I felt was happening with Austin when he would just do it to people. It's like, that should, you know, break Stacy. It's just like, and to me, I mean, Nick Aldis is a big tough guy. Like, it's not the same thing, you know, parallel wise. But I don't think it should be given out as sort of like a punchline like that. It's not a big deal. It works in a lot of ways. You know, crowds pop for it. But I. Like, Nick Aldis should suspend him. He should be upset. I mean, I know he's glad he signed, but maybe he's less glad now. It should set up Aldis being antagonistic towards him. There should at least be that. But I don't know. To me, just hitting someone with an RKO who isn't a threat to you when you're a babyface, it just, to me, it takes away a little bit of the structure that justifies giving that out and the satisfaction that comes with it. Aldis hasn't been that big of a jerk either, where I think fans are like, yeah, because it's all this. They're just cheering generically for an RKO. And so, again, I would save it for occasions when it matters more. That genie's probably out of the bottle, I mean, but I wanted to express that as I would protect finishers and keep them from being just kind of punchlines like that.
Yeah, well, I think that the reason I brought up all this is all this does seem like the kind of guy that would make an issue over it. Because, like, had it been Pierce would just, like, whatever, that's just Randy. You know, and
you wear a neck brace for a week and be sheepish.
Yeah. And you know, but all this, you know, all this is different. And I would, you know, I'm not totally, you know, like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up wrestling at some point. So
I was thinking that, you know, this might set up Orton's feud after Reigns for, you know, it could be all this against Orton at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So that's why I was, you know, cause it could be a little bit more just because of who it's involving.
And that's like, you know, just I said, if Danny Garcia is in the Continental Classic because they want to tell a story about him redeeming himself or, you know, losing but then making a comeback and tell a story, I'm more okay with it than if he's just there to be an easy choice when it comes to booking a loser. And so with all this, it's like sometimes you do have to, and sometimes people are like, oh, stop saying you're going to wait to see how it plays out. But you do have to see how it plays out, because if that was done in a way where it leads to something like that, like an Orton-Aldis match, or it really drives a storyline, and it's Orton's tendency to just sort of give him out like candy when someone turns their back on him, and Cole is like, turn your back on the Viper, justifying it. I mean, it takes away some of it. But if not, Aldis just comes out next week and it's like, Randy, you shouldn't have done that, and I'm mad, but I've got to be a business. I've got to put business in front of personal stuff, and I'm glad you're on his back. If they just blow it off or don't acknowledge it, that's where I think it cheapens it a bit. So if it has big ramifications, then that's better. Although you still question, why are we supposed to cheer Randy for doing it? You know, you should dish that out to people who have it coming. And I really don't think Aldis did anything to deserve it. I feel that way about security guys, too. I'm consistent. Those poor security guys, they're just there to help keep order. They get beat up all the time, Javier. They're just doing their jobs. All right. One other thing, and then we'll go to start going through calls and, you know, introduce the show and all that. CM Punk. There was some talk, maybe CM Punk will fight Roman Reigns. Maybe he will, but it's not imminent. I think Orton signing with SmackDown, even with Punk making an appearance on SmackDown next week, the Tributes to the Troops special. Maybe they go through this rigmarole also, where he chooses sides. And maybe Pierce says, you get the winner of Seth and Jay. And that sets up a pretty quick match between them. Is there a chance that the offers that were made to Orton might also be made next week to Punk, and Punk chooses Raw to get the winner of Seth, Jay?
Well, I mean, if I'm Pierce, I make sure to make the offer on Raw and not have to go over to SmackDown to do it and risk
it. Well, I don't think he's going to be on Raw. That's the problem. I mean, I don't think they advertise him for Raw. I think they only advertise him for SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, perhaps. It kind of makes sense that, particularly when they showed the what happened earlier in the week, they spent... They rather emphasize that not everybody's happy to see me, you know.
Yeah.
They lingered on that, which makes me think it's definitely a mentioning, you know, pointing at what's going on with Seth, mainly on social media and stuff. So
he said everybody loved him. It was like a family reunion.
Yeah, except for one.
Just an exception. He had these two things he wanted to do. He wanted sort of in a dual way, where like he wanted to send a message to people who thinks he isn't welcome in the locker room because of things he said about WWE and some of the wrestlers who, you know, are loyal to WWE. And he knows there's, you know, a feeling, oh, Punk has a cancer in the locker room. So he's going to go out there and go, oh, it's like a family reunion. Everybody loved me. They're asking about AJ. They're asking about my dog and all this stuff and the Blackhawks, whatever. And he didn't go quite that far. So it had the purpose of that, but he also had to get across, except for Seth, who obviously wasn't happy, even though they didn't draw a lot of attention to the rant that Seth went on after the Survivor Series went off the air on Saturday. Well, anyway, Javier, let's pause and introduce the show here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, December 1st, 2023. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, and we are here to cover SmackDown, which just ended a few minutes ago there at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. And I have a feeling we'll be talking to people, perhaps, who were in the arena tonight, coming up here imminently. If you are new to the show, thanks for listening. And if you haven't subscribed to the feed yet on your podcast app, please do so. Search Wade Keller on your podcast app. Subscribe to the red logo show. That's the post shows. And also the blue logo show will pop up with a similar logo and my face on it. And subscribe to that, too. That's the flagship. Todd Martin, part of the flagship yesterday with me, co-hosting. And we not only included a current events discussion, but also some bonus content from the Fixed Mailbag this week, which is usually VIP exclusive. About five topics covered. You get a sense of how the mailbag goes if you're not a VIP member. If you listen to that and want to hear the full mailbag and the mailbag every week, hour and a half to 2 hours, sometimes more, of great mailbag content from just tremendous questions sent in from our VIP members, you'll want to go VIP. PWTorch.com/goVIP. Tons of benefits. Tons of access, just tons of back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, 20 years of podcasts, hundreds of retro radio shows from the 90s, plus ad-free website, and these shows with the ads and plugs edited out too. So lots of good reasons to go VIP, whole array of VIP exclusive podcasts. Details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. You can actually get our VIP podcast through Patreon and directly within your Apple native podcast app using your Apple account. So there's some quick and easy ways if you're part of the Patreon ecosystem or just want to use your Apple account, that's quick and easy. If you want the full array of our library, our ad-free website, and also access to Apple Podcasts and a bunch of other podcast apps, you can sign up with your credit card, debit card, or PayPal. And all those details are at pwtorch.com/govip, pwtorch.com/govip. Either way, hope you're checking out our website, exclusive content, breaking news, live TV, and pay-per-view coverage at our main website, pwtorch.com. That includes pay-per-view previews and predictions from today's co-host, Javier Machado. Javier, welcome.
Hey, Wade, always happy to join you on one of these things.
Yes, great to have you. Look forward to talking about the rest of the show, including getting your take on poor Bailey and what's going on with her and the progress of the Santos Escobar turn and the latest with Logan Paul and the tournament. I want to kind of decide if the U.S. title tournament, how it stacks up to the Continental Classic in terms of the field of competitors. That crossed my mind. It'd be kind of fun to see who put forward a better group of people, the 10 in the Classic or the 8 in the U.S. title number one contendership tournament. But first things first, our phone number. If you want to join the conversation, you are invited to if you're live streaming the show. By the way, you can find a link to the live stream after Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision. We'll be back doing a Collision post show tomorrow night for the first time in a few weeks because of the PLEs the last two Saturdays. So join us for that. Chris Maitland joining me as co-host. But you can find the link to the live stream in my TV reports at pwtorch.com every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday night. You can also find a link at wadekellerpostshow.com, and you can navigate to the live feed. I often, but not always, put up links on social media too. The phone number, if you want to give us a call, is 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1. 347-215-8558. You can find that phone number, by the way, also in my TV reports, along with the link to the live stream. The other thing you'll find is our email address, which we are switching a little bit. It had been wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com, but we started getting some indications that email wasn't going through and our dedicated server was not forwarding all the emails. It was actually missing most of them. So we're just going to go to our Gmail account. So it's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Gmail does a great job with email. So we're just going to go with that instead of trying to use the web brand as part of that address. So if you have sent us emails in the last few months and they haven't come through, it was not personal. And consider yourself re-invited, but adjust using wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Don't let it autofill to @pwtorch. Okay, with that business out of the way, let's get to phone calls. And we'll begin with Chris in New York. Chris, you're up first. Thanks for calling. Are you at the show, Chris?
Yes, I am. Hopefully you can hear me.
We can hear the people behind you more than you.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty loud. Is there a way you can go somewhere more quiet?
Never let anyone hear me.
We can barely hear you over all the background noise. Are you on Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe switch out of Bluetooth. Because that's picking up all the ambient noise.
Hello?
Hey, yeah, that's much better.
Are you hearing me better?
Yeah. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind about SmackDown?
Yeah, let me get somewhere quieter because not everyone's coming out.
You can hear us, too.
Yeah, I'm outside.
You want us to come? Okay, cool.
So how
was the show?
The show was it was all right. I felt like the crowd was more into the show than I was. The place was packed. I would say about 95%. I was pretty shocked because the last time I came to Barclays Center was, 6 years ago, and it was dead. Barely had anyone at the top. They even moved me back in 2017 to ramp side. So, yeah, they were struggling back then. Now, they could barely get, they could barely sell any more tickets how much they sold.
They actually had the arena set up for 12,206, according to WrestleTix. And they had almost, they were about 11,800 tickets sold as of, let's see what time it was, right about 4 hours before the show, or a couple hours before the show. And that is an improvement upon the February attendance, which was 10,800. So they're going to beat that by over 1,000, counting walk-ups. And, yeah, like you said, it's more than they were doing certainly prior to this year. So attendance going up. And but, man, the camera angles were impressive tonight. The upper deck, the shots from the upper deck down at the arena made this feel like a happening popular product that is serving its fan base well. Chris, what did you not like about the show, or what were you looking for that they didn't deliver?
Well, first of all, CM Punk would have been nice. People were not happy. He'll be here next week. It's like, oh, great, yep. You guys come to New York. And the one person we were cheering for, you didn't even bring him. And, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Understood, yeah. I get that.
And to be honest, the matches were kind of just random and pointless to me. It was just, like, Bobby Lashley gets a win against someone, and then the Santos match. I don't know. It just felt like a bunch of random matches.
Was there any match they gave you to kind of... Yeah.
Two matches. I mean, matches I already seen and didn't care for. So, I mean, they were pretty big. They had Rollins versus Nakamura and Cody versus Dom.
How'd those go? Tell us about them.
I didn't say. I came outside right away.
Gotcha.
I had no interest.
Okay. I was going to say that SmackDown didn't end that long ago, so they probably couldn't have done both. Anyway.
Yeah, I stayed and watched Rollins come out and Nakamura, and then I left. Like, it's just matches I've seen already. It would have been cool.
Sure,
this would be a CM Punk match. That would have been cool. You know?
Were there chants for CM Punk, Chris, before the show or during the show?
Night. The whole night. I don't know if you heard it on TV, but the whole night.
Yeah, interesting. Were there CM Punk chants when Randy Orton came out? Like, or were fans just into Randy at that point?
Oh, once Randy came out, everyone forgot anyone else existed.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a long...
LA Knight, that's the only... Yeah, that's the top two reactions was LA Knight and Orton. They were like 1 and 2, 1A and 1B. They were head and head.
How did the pop for Kevin Owens compare to, say, LA Knight? I mean, LA Knight was running out. Well, they both kind of came out, you know, in the case of heels, you know, got counter heels in the ring. We hear it, yeah. Is that outdoors? Like, they're chanting it outside?
Yeah. He said something about Kevin Owens, right?
Yeah, I just said, how did the Kevin Owens pop compare to LA Knight?
Definitely nowhere near it. I mean, people were happy, but, I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't that big of a deal.
How about Bianca Belair? What kind of reaction did she get coming out at the top of the show and then also for a match later?
Oh, yeah. She was the biggest pop because she was the first one to come out. But I know this is something that is said on the show a lot, but it's kind of annoying to see it live when Bianca comes out twice today. And she stands in the ring during the commercial, during video packages. Like, she's standing there for, like, 10 minutes. It's like, why can't they just do the video package, then have her come out, then have the match? Like, I don't know why they do it the other way. It just, aesthetically, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, they want viewers at home to get excited about seeing someone and then pausing that excitement for the commercial. And they believe that helps hold viewers. And so it definitely leads to an awkward live experience. So did they do anything when she was standing in the ring, you know, while waiting? Was there anything to pass the time, or did she just stand there?
She just stood there, you know, watching the video or whatever. The only one that did anything while they were standing in the ring was Santos. When he came out, they did the DX, you know, cross chop thing. So he was doing it, which was kind of weird to see him do the DX thing. But I guess that's what they told him to do.
Yeah, yeah. What was up with Bobby Lashley getting so many chants and cheers? Was that in the full arena, or did a section of the crowd kind of get it going and everyone just kind of followed along?
I didn't hear you. What happened?
Explain or talk about the Bobby Lashley chant and how popular he was. Was that organic with the whole crowd, or just kind of a loud section and other people followed along?
Oh, yeah. Bobby got a nice reaction, too. It seemed like everyone besides Logan Paul got cheered. I feel like everyone was a different level, but everyone got cheered except for him.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Javier, is there anything you want to ask Chris about his experience tonight?
Oh, before you say anything,
really...
Javier, I just want to say hi again. I feel like every time I call, you're here, so it's pretty cool. when I first called in and they said that Javier was on, I was like, oh, great.
Well, I'm glad you're happy to talk to Javier again.
It's hard to hear.
Butch and Joaquin Wilde, did the crowd just, you know, were they just there, you know, and the crowd not really care about them, or just, you know, particularly Butch, did he, you know, with the match that he had, did people start like believing in him, or was it just like, you know, matches, pretty much, for lack of a better term?
In that situation, yeah, it was booze for Santos. No one really cared about Joaquin, and then big cheers for Bobby, and no one really cared about Butch, which is sad because I like Pete Dunne, and I reacted, but I mean, a lot of people either don't care or don't know much about him. You know, they haven't really told us who he is. He's just a guy, and he likes to break people's fingers.
Are there, were there a lot, did you see the merchandise stand, and did they already have CM Punk t-shirts?
Yeah, they had CM Punk, they had Cena, they had Roman Reigns, they had the Brooklyn 316, the championship titles, they had I didn't even know they had a New York Yankee title. They haven't advertised any baseball teams, but were advertising that. They were saying, oh, if you want to get this exclusive championship only at this stadium, I guess they only sell it here.
Did the CM Punk t-shirts look and smell musty like they had been sitting in storage for 10 years, or were they fresh and new?
I didn't get that close to it, but a lot of people in general were wearing CM Punk. I don't know what to say, or they haven't already, but as I'm walking to the arena, I just saw like countless people with CM Punk shirts, signs, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Javier, anything else you want to bring up to Chris?
I mean, from what I've heard, I've heard some people say that when the CM Punk chants start, there is a contingent to start booing it. Or is that, like, not happening at a WWE show?
Is
everybody happening? All in on the CM Punk? Because I had heard that sometimes people would do CM Punk chants, and then there would be a group that would, like, try to boo it down. I'm assuming that now that he's in WWE, it's just like 100% like for a Punk.
Oh yeah, 100%. There was nobody even trying. Like I was listening, no one even tried to stop the chant. It was if I could say every person went through it.
I think WWE fans just didn't want fans chanting CM Punk because they didn't want distractions from the show that they came to see. And now that he's WWE and said he's home, he's now anti-AEW and pro-WWE, and he's their guy. So even the people who were shouting down those fans, I don't think they were anti-CM Punk. I mean, they might have been in certain cases, but I think for the most part, they were just like, enjoy the show where that's here. Stop asking for something else, because they just like the current WWE product. That was kind of, it seemed to be my take, especially because, that's enough, yeah. Chris, anything else you want to add? Any fun anecdotes or observations or anything else from your...
Yeah, let me just check my notes quickly.
That was our warm-up match also.
No, the last thing is about the whole Orton thing. I mean, I know it was, I get free agent and all that, but he made it clear Monday he wanted the bloodline. So it's like, why would he say, oh, I'll take the title shot? I mean, of course, everyone wants the title shot. But his whole main focus is bloodline. So it's like, and Roman has a title too. So he could get two birds in one stone if he goes after Roman. When, if he goes after Rollins,
right,
he's not getting what he wants. So it's kind of like, unless Adam Pearce would have said, you get a title shot against Rollins, and you get $10 million more dollars, then of course, but he can't offer that because he doesn't have the power to do that, which is, you know, still nobody knows what exactly he can't do. He can make matches sometimes and other times. he hasn't talked to upper management. So it's like, he should have made a better offer is what I'm saying. Whether he could do it or not, he should have just said, I'll give you $15 million more and a title shot. You know?
All right.
Something.
Yeah. All right, cool. Chris, I appreciate your giving us a call in and sharing your thoughts on your live experience tonight.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks, Wade.
Yeah.
I love your show, as always, and Javier. It's always good to hear from both of you. And I'm getting on a train now, going home, and I'll listen to the show later or tomorrow.
Awesome. Cool. I appreciate your support and kind words. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you next time that Javier's on.
All right. Have a good night.
Yep, you too. All right, up next, we're going to head to New York. Joe is there. Joe, welcome. Were you at the show tonight?
Yes. No, I was not. But I did watch the show. And I thought it was a good first hour. And second hour kind of lingered a little bit. But the main event segment closed it. You know, it was a nice ending. But let's talk about the Logan Paul and – KO. I think, you know, I really want to see KO end this thing because, you know, it's a little ridiculous with Logan Paul. I mean, we don't need wrestlers. We don't need guys that aren't in the business with the titles. It's just, it's not a good thing. I don't think it does much for the business. I don't think the ratings go up dramatically with this guy. I mean, if you're under 30, I don't even think you know who the people that are under 30 love the guy. After 30, they don't even know who he is. So I don't see that. And one other thing I wanted to mention was with Orton going to SmackDown, I mean, that's pretty predictable because Punk is going to go to Raw. But come January 2nd, none of it's going to matter because everybody's going to show up on both shows because it's WrestleMania season. And that's just how that goes. And the other thing I wanted to say is CM Punk should have been on this show because they misread the room. Don't be surprised if this show gets a 1.9 or a 2.0 rating because there was a college football game on ABC, championship game. So I don't know what they were thinking. And if I was Fox, I'd be pretty annoyed because I would want CM Punk on that show. And remember, Fox was annoyed that they didn't sign CM Punk back in 2021 because they're like, we paid you all this money. Why aren't you talking to the guy?
So, a couple things there to address. First of all, Javier, should people resent Logan Paul as this interloper celebrity who's not a real pro wrestler? Or, as I have argued, he's like right near the top of celebrities in getting involved in wrestling in terms of match quality, in terms of promos, in terms of looking the part, in terms of having a legit enough background that it's sort of consistent with imagining him as a pro wrestler because he's a celebrity, not just because of YouTube shenanigans, but the boxing, the big fights he's promoted. I just, when I hear good things about his attitude and his approach behind the scenes, you know, and so I don't really resent him being the U.S. champion. I'd like to see him, you know, be around quite a bit. But I think he's performance-wise earning this level of push being a U.S. champion. I don't feel it's disgracing or besmirching the U.S. title having him hold it. But I understand Joe's perspective. I mean, there is baggage there. And, you know, someone who is probably never going to work a house show match, I get fans going, you know, why are you giving him a belt and featuring him so much when you can put that time into someone else? Javier, where are you as far as Logan goes? And what do you think about what Joe said?
Yeah, It's a mid-card belt, so I'm not as I have a bigger issue if we're like your big title, but I agree with you, Wade. I think Logan's a special case. He is someone who is putting in the work with other wrestlers to make sure that he looks like he belongs in the ring. And he's really surpassed what a lot of people expect from him. I think that the idea that he is an interloper and here he goes, running off with the U.S. title, I think that is part of like the, you know, what they're going for in terms of heat of, you know, I can't believe this outsider has it. You know, and but it's because he can back it up in the ring. It's not like when he has a match, you're like, oh, I don't want to. Again, I can't speak for everybody, but it's not like, you know, watching David Arquette in there. You know what I mean? So I do like what he's done. Plus, he's, you know, he does talk about it outside of the just, you know, on SmackDown. He does, you know, like on his show and stuff like that. So
yeah,
he is making it a big deal that he is the champion, and he's selling the fact that he's a champion for the most part. The only thing is, I kind of wish that he'd be a little bit like not do the Kenny Omega Jericho thing of because in one of his podcasts, he basically talked about the snafu, the botch move between him and he was talking, you know, essentially, you know, not story wise, but, you know,
yeah,
he was talking, you know, so I'd rather him like just not break kayfabe basically, and,
right,
and just, you know, keep that going. But outside of that, I really dug the stuff that that he's done, and I was calling for him to win the U.S. title back then. So
yeah,
you could also blame me on that, because I he needed something also to be important, you know, to have some value, because he can't, you know, he had lost a lot of matches, and then this way he can win this title. It doesn't really hurt Ray, it builds the legend. And yeah, I'm sure either KO, maybe he gets a defense against KO, but then, you know, lose it for WrestleMania.
How about the comments on Punk? Is it better for the Punk brand to be a guy who, once he shows up, he's on every show until he's brand specific, tied to a brand? Or is, because of the circumstances of the football game tonight, the competition, the lack of Roman Reigns on the show, is this SmackDown or WWE sort of waving the white flag, going, all right, you know, this isn't going to be the week we want to do it, but next Friday makes more sense, and we'll build it up on SmackDown and Raw also leading up to his appearance?
I think the fans were expecting him there. So
yeah,
if he wasn't going to be there, if you didn't have something for him, I don't want to just throw him out there and basically cut the same promo he did last on Raw. You know, that doesn't help anybody. And since his whatever he's going to be doing looks like it's going to be more Raw based anyway, I'm fine with that. But I mean, maybe bring him in and have him talk to the audience with the cameras off. You know, because
yeah,
I do
like
think the people who were there, and maybe he could get a little bit more, you know, can you believe the Seth guy, you know, what a jackass, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be more open with the crowd in that respect, if you're going to, since you're already kind of building that on the other end with Seth Rollins. So, you know, I think that would have been better just in terms for the crowd. I don't think it was necessary for us to see it on TV. Plus, at this point, you know, they're not coming back to Fox, so I don't, you know, even if Fox would want him on there, I don't think, you know, at this place, you're they're no longer singing for the suppers. They already have a place for SmackDown.
Yeah, I do like the idea though, to protect that New York market when you got 12,000 people,
yeah,
give or take a little bit, in the building. If people were thinking, and WWE didn't say he was going to be there. They didn't advertise him. It wasn't a no-show. But, man, if you bring him out, those fans are going to remember that moment. And I think from a goodwill standpoint, they're going to appreciate it. And I think that's something Joe was getting at, and that's something Chris was certainly getting at. Joe, back to you. Anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, and remember, it's the first SmackDown after Survivor Series, so people were expecting it. One other thing on Randy Orton, that guy is jacked up. He looks big. I heard that he was not as big and everything. I don't know what they were, where those reports were coming from. I've never seen the guy look as big as he does right now. And, I mean, good for him that he can get his back in that kind of shape where he can do that kind of stuff. But one thing I'll say for him is I see the passion in Randy Orton that I have never seen before. He seems happy to be there, and not in a goofy way, like in a way that, like, he's appreciating it and he wants it. Like, sometimes he felt like he was just going through emotions in his career, but now he seems to be very happy and very into what he's doing, and he had a lot of fire. You could see it, and I think, you know, that line that he used, tell Roman daddy's home, I mean, not a lot of guys would have the guts to say that, and I think it fit the moment, actually.
Very good. Joe, anything else you want to add? Good point there.
No, that's about it. Have a good night, guys.
Cool.
Everybody go VIP.
Yeah, you too. Have a good weekend. Thanks. Yep. PWTorch.com/goVIP. Listen to Joe, everybody. We'd love to have you. All right. Let's go to Mike in Hershey, PA. Mike, long time Torch supporter. Welcome. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
You know, actually, kind of interesting, Wade. Actually, tonight, so I'm in this situation where we have, I went to tune in to SmackDown tonight using DirecTV. It's like the stream, DirecTV stream is what I've been using for years. And we're blacked out on the local market here. So I couldn't actually watch the show live. And then I do have an antenna in the house, but we have like a really, it's like super foggy and rainy here tonight. So the reception was brutal. So it's kind of crazy. It's like, you know, technology is the way that it is. And you go to watch SmackDown and you can't, no matter what you do, you can't do it. I've got my plan B is no good either. So,
I got Direct Stream also, Direct TV Stream. It's worked well for me, but I noticed our NBC affiliate got blocked tonight. I think they're the same ownership group that owns your Fox affiliate. And so, yeah, they're having a dispute. So, but you always have that free 7 days of Sling or that free 7 days of Hulu TV. Like, there's some free offers out there if you just have to bridge yourself to pick up the network that you can take advantage of. Because you just have to download an app and log in pretty quick. Get that. So, just FYI, if it's extended, there are some options where you can bridge it.
Yeah, and it's never really been a problem. Actually, it's kind of, what's kind of cool about having an antenna. So I used to have cable in the house, right? And when we actually never had cable was in the house before we bought the house about 9 years ago, and we never actually went to cable. This was when the DirecTV stream was like coming out. So we did that and it was fine. And I just took bought like a $25 antenna, stuck it up in the attic of our house and connected it to the cable. So it went to all the places where there were TVs. So then all the TVs are basically connected to this antenna. So it's been my backup.
Ah,
and, like,
that's smart.
Watching like the Super Bowl and things like that, like over the years, like that's, you want to watch it over the antenna because it's actually a little bit ahead when you're watching on the stream. But anyway, that's all this tech talk. So what I ended up doing tonight was just kind of like following along, watching results. But I don't have much to say about the live broadcast because I didn't get to really. But when I wanted to check in, I've been hoping to find a time when I could actually call in. So what I wanted to say was, I don't know if you remember, but it was I want to say 7-8 weeks ago. I don't know. It seems maybe it was a little bit longer than that, but I was headed to AEW Collision up in State College, Pennsylvania, and we had bought tickets about 3 weeks before the event, and then a week ahead of it is when CM Punk was fired. So we were really bummed, the group of us that were going up there, that we weren't going to get to see Punk. So now that, I just wanted to say that with him returning to WWE, this is actually, it's super exciting. I've got WrestleMania tickets because it's for Philadelphia. And I'm just, it honestly was one of the, Survivor Series was one of those great moments. And, with all these storylines unfolding, it's just great. I mean, I don't know what everybody else says. I hear all this love him, hate him, but it's so cool, and on top of that, it's kind of like CM Punk is almost just like the cherry on top of the Randy Orton return. So it's just super exciting, and I just wanted a chance to chime in on that. And I guess
what Punk matches are you most looking forward to, Mike, based on the lay of the land? Because some people want Stone Cold or rematches with top names, and others want to see him with novel matchups that we haven't seen before and give a rub to some newer names. Who do you want to see him against, and do you think he should stay babyface, or he will need to stay babyface, or is there a way they can eventually turn him heel?
See, that's the thing. I think basically Seth Rollins is automatically going to turn, Rollins into a heel. So, I think Rollins is kind of a heel to most people anyway. I think you've been kind of I think the song is sort of his catch. You know, if he didn't have the song, I think Seth Rollins would pretty much be a heel at this point. So I think that Punk is going to be the fan favorite, and I think whatever happens between now and how this works out, you know, I think I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to Punk in bigger matches. You know, if I could relate it, like, I don't really want to see CM Punk versus, you know, I guess Dominic Mysterio would be fine, because it's just, Dominic, let's just face it, he's a big star, but yeah, I don't want to see CM Punk versus, who's a guy that they're using a lot right now, the guy from the Viking Raiders, right?
Ivar, yeah.
Yeah, Ivar. You know, I don't want to see CM Punk versus Ivar just to have it on TV. Yeah, you know, I'd rather they build up to things. I think CM Punk versus Lashley would be great. I'm thinking, like, anything where there's a tie, where there's a story. You know, I know that there's a lot of history going back, but, you know, I think what I'm really looking forward to is CM Punk versus Rollins, however they get there and whatever they got to do in between. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, cool. Anything else you want to bring up, Mike, from what you read about or heard about on tonight's show? Or?
Yeah, no. The only other thing I wanted to say is, I don't know what to really make of, everyone's saying that Randy Orton, you know, he just looks so much bigger, like he's put on about 30 pounds of muscle, and that's obvious, and that's, you know, something that's been repeated over and over again. So yes, duly noted. The other thing is with the the Nick Aldis with the I don't know if Nick Aldis is going to be a guest. Do you think he's actually going to be a wrestling character? That's the question. I think, to me, I'm familiar with Aldis. The guy's still, you know, he's a specimen himself. So I think there could be some sort of interim thing there, but I kind of like where he's at right now, and I think that what they're really doing with Orton is just kind of, you know, it's basically like you guys said earlier, it's kind of like a Stone Cold move. I think people kind of forgive and forget, and it's not really, you know, it's just, you kind of expect that out of Randy Orton. So didn't see that as something that was going to lead to a storyline, and I think you guys said that, you know, maybe that would. If I could disagree, I would say probably not, in my opinion, but you never really know. So that's it.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Javier, anything you want to chime in on?
Well, I'm the only match I'm actually looking forward to for Punk is actually Kevin Owens, because I like to see them go against each other, both on the mic and on the
well,
the ring.
Right. Yeah. No. So I guess what I'm getting at is, I agree. I mean, but you've got the. I really only want to see Punk against top tier guys, and I feel like maybe one of the things that was lost with him in AEW was that he just took on too many guys. He was on every week, which was a blessing, you know, for a while, the time that we had it. But at the same time, now that, you know, you see that size, just that reception that he got at the end of that show, unexpected. Everyone was basically 99% happy, I think, in that arena in Chicago. And then when you heard the music, and then you see the reactions and everything that they're, all this mileage they're getting out of that moment at the end. At this point, I can't see CM Punk just having a match on Raw or SmackDown, unless it's against a top tier guy with something on the line. Like, so I think the Rumble, looking to see if he enters the Rumble. I still think the Rumble is, I still think WrestleMania, and I'm hoping that it's Cody versus Roman on night two, and Seth versus Punk on night one would be amazing. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I want to see Cody against Punk, but like in 2 years, and who knows who the face or heel is, but I want Punk to stay healthy, be happy, get comfortable and just shine at what he's good at and have a really satisfying chapter. But Cody and Punk, to me, there's just in so many ways an interesting story there in terms of different ways that they can go. And a lot of it just depends on how the fans react to each of them over the next couple of years.
Agreed. The only reason I mentioned Lashley before is I feel like there's, I feel like there's opportunities, and I just don't know what this new company, you know, was thinking. But, you know, obviously CM Punk didn't have a very successful MMA career, but I think if they can find some sort of ties between guys that are, like, you know, like if there's, like you said about the Stone Cold match, obviously that would be great, but I just don't think that, I don't know if it would be great at this point. So I'm thinking more along the lines of Lashley with his MMA background. I'm thinking along the lines of, you know, Lashley kind of had an MMA career that nobody really paid attention to that much. I mean, it wasn't in the UFC. So, you know, you've got other guys that have MMA, obviously Brock Lesnar, you know, Brock versus Punk. You know, these are, if they could play off that, I don't know if TKO has an interest in promoting that kind of stuff, but I don't think Austin Punk necessarily would be that great. I almost think that those guys as a team would be better as opposed to facing each other, but that's just my opinion. So anyway, guys, that's about all I have. Just want to say thanks for the opportunity. Love the show, and go VIP.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it very much. Good to hear from you. Hope you can get your Fox affiliate back. All right. Let's go to Brad in Florida next. If you are listening and want to join us, though, the phone lines are still open, 347-215-8558. Push 1 when you call. We'd love to hear from first-time callers. This is not a members-only type thing. So if you have something you want to ask or sound off on, please do add your voice to the show. Brad, good to see you on the call list again. Welcome. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Yeah, hey, wait. When you say that, do you notice people on the line that are just listening? You're like, press 1. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just curious if you're seeing people out there that might be hesitant to press 1. Because I love hearing even Mike. You know, I listen a lot. I don't really hear him ever. He was great. So I was just curious,
sometimes,
like,
yeah,
how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's cool.
Yeah, sometimes I see people who are on hold. Like, especially if I say we don't have any callers yet, all of a sudden, like 2-3 people just push 1. You know, like, I'll be honest. Some people just don't feel like they need to talk, but they got some things to say. So, yeah, definitely see phone numbers just leap to the top of the list.
Press 1. It's funny. My dad has DirecTV. He watches SmackDown every week, and he had his Fox affiliate, but they lost their ABC affiliate. So I don't know how it works. It's just,
yep,
weird. Maybe it's different markets.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But regardless, on the Randy RKO thing, I loved the last segment. I really did. I thought it was a great, great ending. I thought it was a lot of fun and a lot of twists and turns, and I just loved it. But the thing to me that would have made more sense is Adam Pearce getting in Randy's face, like, you made a big mistake, you should have come through, and then he RKOs him. You know what I mean? Like, that would have made far more sense. Unless there's an angle on this where all this is now angry at Randy, and it lasts until after the Rumble when he faces Roman, which is presumably what I think is going to happen, and then goes back to Raw based on what he did to all this, because he just either all this can't take it anymore, or Randy can't take it anymore, or he's been banned, or, you know, something like that. I don't know, but who knows what the angle is behind it. But if it was just for fun, it would have made far more sense for Pierce to be the one who took it. But okay. I was thinking about you know, CM Punk coming on next week, but I think you guys covered that. I mean, the thing that I really wanted to talk about was Grayson Waller, because I loved Grayson Waller in NXT. And the thing about Grayson Waller in NXT was that he was a winner, and he would win matches, and he would come really close to winning championships and different things. Like, he had Carmelo Hayes on the ropes, Bron Breakker on the ropes, like, and he would win matches that weren't at the championship level constantly. The thing is with him on SmackDown is that it's hard to take him as even like a serious heel or someone that you want to hate, because he never wins. Even Logan Paul on commentary said, you know, it's too bad Grayson doesn't wrestle as good as he looks. And I think that that's kind of like becoming a problem to me. Like, I know wins and losses is not everything. I understand that because of you partially. You guys have really taught me that. But the truth of the matter is that he never wins a match, ever. And I wasn't expecting him to win tonight against Kevin Owens. But in reality, like, why can't he win a match? Like, why can't they be like, you know, this guy, he's a jerk, but he backs it up. He's actually a threat. I think they're really hurting his brand at this point. And I think, like, you know, all the goofy stuff that he does becomes even less serious and more just stupid rather than goofy because of the fact that he never wins even like a regular match. I wanted to know what you guys think of that because I really think they're misusing him. I really do.
Javier, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, with Grayson Waller, I kind of have already pegged him in the same slot as The Miz, where it just doesn't really I'm not expecting more than him to be a mid you know, basically your mid-card kind of guy. So I would normally I would agree with like somebody else who I had higher, you know, like higher hopes for, but it feels like that's where he's at. In a way, it almost feels like they're by having Grayson Waller be the frontman taking all these losses now. It almost feels like in a way that they're protecting our boy with Theory.
yeah.
You know, because with Theory is a bit different because he's, you know, he could, you know, I think you could just tell the story of like, okay, he put it all together and all of a sudden starts rattling off a bunch of wins. But I think with Grayson, it feels like he's more, he just feels like he's more of a talk show host that happens to wrestle every now and then.
Right.
Whether that's the best use of him, I'll let other, you know, others, make that argument. It's the role that they have, they've carved out for him.
And I think it's fine to have somebody who isn't a great wrestler, and Grayson Waller's not. We're not missing out on you know, epic PLE main event feuds and matches with him. There's something to be said for being in this role. I mean, it's a good role to be in, the agitator who does clean jobs but can talk himself back into relevance right afterwards. I'm okay with it. I'm not, you know, I mean, part of it is, yeah, they're protecting Theory more than him. Theory is in all likelihood going to be in, you know, pay-per-view PLE main events for years to come. And I don't think Waller will, but I think Waller is going to have a nice career and I think he's going to make a lot of money and draw a lot of heat. And I'm okay with how they're using him. You know, they're not over pushing him. They're not pushing him above the type of stories he can tell in the ring. And it's not like he's bad. It's just, he's not a standout worker, but he's a standout talk show host who, yeah, can give fans, you know, there's value in being a wrestler who gives fans a sense of satisfaction watching him lose, who can talk his way back into getting heat and you know, earning his TV time through talking right afterwards. There's value in that. I don't think there's any shame in it. I mean, it's not like he's a loser because he loses. He's a winner because he's good at losing and talking his way back. I mean, he's just playing a role. So yeah, it doesn't really cross my mind like, oh man, they're blowing it with him. I wouldn't have been against them protecting him more and having him be in a different role either. But you know, this is fine. I mean, I don't think he should be leapfrogging anyone else who are getting more of a push. I think they have a deep enough roster. They don't really need him to be kept strong. Brad, what do you think?
Yeah, I understand the value in what you're saying. I just saw him in incredible, like, five-way matches in NXT, and maybe some of your audience has seen these matches, that he was so good. Like, I think his wrestling ability, he knows how to make matches interesting. He knows how to, you know, bring emotion out in a match. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. And I just haven't seen it on the main roster at all, but I've seen it in NXT at a really high level. And I loved it, and I think, you know, he has a lot more to offer. And I think he's just become, like, such a loser that I understand he can get back into it. You know, you could just say, oh, you're a this and you're a that, and look at you, and, oh, Brooklyn smells like garbage, and get everyone to hate him. But, like, ultimately, I do think he has more to offer as a wrestler, too. And as a serious competitor and still being a big jerk. So, like, whatever. That's just what I've seen out of him in NXT. And and whatever. So my last thing is, like, didn't Kevin Owens and Logan Paul have a run-in at some point relatively recently? I forget what it was, whether
Logan
Kevin Owens
that.
Saw him. Yeah.
Logan mentioned on color commentary that KO gave him a stunner at his first WrestleMania, and he hasn't forgotten it.
Yeah, and they had a run-in somewhere else. It was on SmackDown. I think it was right after Logan Paul won the championship. Maybe I'm wrong, or before he won the championship. Maybe it was during his time promoing with Rey Mysterio when Rey still had the belt, but Kevin Owens kind of, like, gave him a look. See, to me, like, I love this idea of this tournament, and I know, Javier, you said you're not so high on it because it's only the U.S. title. But I remember, you know, obviously we all do, you know, Elimination Chamber last year was for the U.S. title. Like, like that was, to me, like a little bit of a downer. But this is, like, the perfect spot to have matches that mean something on SmackDown that are the ends to a goal or you know, that work towards a goal and aren't just meaningless matches. But I don't like the idea that I really just feel like KO is going to win the tournament. Like that, I think it's almost obvious. And there's so many great people in this tournament. You know what I mean? Like, you have Santos, you have Bobby Lashley, you have Theory, you have Waller, you have whoever this – by the way, who could this mystery person be from NXT? Do you have any insight on that or any idea or none?
No. I mean, maybe they're calling up Bron Breakker, Wesley. I mean, really, could be a whole array. Yeah. But I like that they left it a mystery. I mean – the PWT Talks NXT gang will have a lot to talk about and speculate on. And, I like that. I think that's – I hope they play it up on NXT too. You know, I don't know if it – Javier, did you get the sense they had said it's already been decided but we don't know, or it hasn't yet been decided? I didn't come away super clear on that.
I don't know whether they made the decision or not. My mind went immediately to Wesley, though. Wesley or Noam Dar. I don't know where exactly they're at currently, what they're doing in on NXT, so they don't follow it outside of when Todd talks about it. So those were the only two that really like popped up because I don't think it's worthy for Bron Breakker. So
yeah.
Well, it's funny because
Go ahead, Bray.
Yeah, sorry. My mind went to Carmelo Hayes because they're having this Iron Survivor thing on NXT. And I don't want to bore you guys with NXT talk, but Carmelo Hayes has a second chance match to be one of the five people in that against four people four-way this week. And if he doesn't make it, I could see him being the guy as a babyface, obviously. I'd rather see him versus Logan Paul at the Royal Rumble or something like that. Like, I think – like, that would be so cool, like, rather than Kevin Owens. And I love Kevin Owens, but I just feel like I know it kind of bothers me. Like, I'd rather have the intrigue and the mystery of, like, I have absolutely no idea who's going to win this tournament. And I just feel like, based on Logan watching KO's match and all that, that it's going to be Kevin. But whatever, I guess we'll see. And otherwise, I am surprised that Roman – and we don't know what he's dealing with. He could be dealing with medical things. He could be dealing with health things. We don't really know. But I am surprised that Roman doesn't show up in Brooklyn because Brooklyn, as a New Yorker myself, Brooklyn is a big, big, big-time thing. And I just feel like, you know, if you're going to have him back, why not tonight? You know, I don't know. But we don't know what's going on in the background, obviously. That's it for me. And I hope you guys have a good evening. I'll continue listening and always love this show. Thanks, Javier and Wade.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. Javier, anything you want to add to what Brad had to say?
Well, do we know these are one-on-one matches for the tournament? Because last time they've done a couple of these, it's been a 4-on-4, 4-on-4, and the winners wrestle each other.
They announced two singles matches for next week.
Okay, so they have been.
It's going to be Karrion Kross against Bobby Lashley and Escobar against Dragon Lee.
Yeah, that's more than I thought that they were going to end up doing for the for this. So should be interesting because earlier you asked me how it compares to the whatever their AEW is calling theirs. I haven't bothered to memorize the name yet. It kind of feels like a step beyond the their norm AEW's normal tournament. But you know, I've got a thing for the round robin in terms of the people involved. I think they're comparable, you know, a lot of the, you know, mid card ish with a couple of guys that could be, you know, higher like Lashley. So,
yeah,
comparable in terms of like who's in it. I do think that the, AEW one's a little bit more, you know, prestigious, for now, but again, let's hope that they stick the landing.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. All right, let's go to Kyle in Baltimore next. Kyle, welcome to the show. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
So real quick, I know that Brad just mentioned Roman Reigns is going to be back on TV on the 15th. So that's what says when he will get the schedule. He's going to be back on the 15th for SmackDown. So that's when Roman Reigns is going to come back. So it's in 2 weeks. I want to just, you know, still stick into with the women, really, with EO and Bailey and that development. What do you think? And now therefore, do you think too they're gonna just set up Bianca and EO for the Royal Rumble? That's what it feels like to me, or it feels like they're gonna what they're planning on doing with Bianca with this whole defeating this person and that person to get to EO. Do you think the match is gonna happen on a SmackDown, or do you think they should do that match at the Rumble? Or do you think it's a little too far away from the Rumble to do that, or to blow it off on a SmackDown first and then get a rematch at the Royal Rumble, you think?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And I mean, it feels like it's a long ways off to go through that many opponents. But if Dakota Kai's not wrestling, but there's only two other, well, I guess Bailey too. So three members she could go through before getting to Io Sky. And you could space those out with the holidays where then, yeah, the match gets booked for the Rumble. It is quite a wait. What are you thinking, Javier? And just what did you think about – we haven't talked about it yet. What did you think about the way that they set that up?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a stretch. But, I mean, you also the thing is, you also with Charlotte involved, I would not be surprised if they set up a three-way maybe for the Rumble. Not ideal, but – I could see some the Charlotte presence also being a thing, because she's wrestling Asuka, so it feels like it's going to be a cluster until we get to that. And I think with the number of bodies involved, I think they could probably think they're going to stretch it to the Rumble. It is getting a little bit tiresome. Bailey, Bianca still involved with damage control after all this time. So I was one of my first thoughts when they came out, and I think Cole mentioned is like, oh well, I guess the war, you know, they might have had the War Games match, but the war isn't over yet. And I'm like, yeah, I know, it feels like it's been going on forever. So yeah, and in terms of the Bailey, but then there's also the Bailey stuff, which is a bit weird because, I think we're meant to feel sympathy for her because she's being like frozen out of the rest of Damage Control, but they're a heel group and she's still, you know, being part of the team by helping them cheat. So there's a lot of moving parts in here, and I think that they're enough to keep some sort of interest going into Royal Rumble.
Yep. All right, Kyle, back to you.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Really, the NC too, really, but this whole CM Punk thing, I don't get the chance to talk about this at all because, you know, I've called for a while. But with CM Punk being back, and you know, I guess it's fine for me personally. I think I'm okay with – see, I'm in a different mindset with CM Punk compared to Cody Rhodes, because for me, at least CM Punk, in my eyes anyway, he was seen as a world champion. He was seen as a main event when he was there, and so I'm kind of okay with. I'm not that huge of a fan of CM Punk at all, but I'm okay that he's back in a way. So because I didn't know what he was doing in AEW for the most part. Just again, know him from his time in WWE. So for him being back, I was kind of I was a little shocked when I saw him. So we'll see what happens with moving forward with him and what he's going to. Hopefully he'll have a better promo on SmackDown next week than he did on Raw. So hopefully they'll give him enough time with that, because I thought that was just completely just – he said a whole lot of nothing on Raw. So, but I think it's a general thing for me, but it's going to be really interesting for me. I'm just the different comparisons between CM Punk and Cody Rhodes' returns from last year to this year. I'm like, well, for me anyway, personally, I'm okay with CM Punk because I've followed him before too from his time when he was a WWE being WWE champion for that entire year. Him in that feud with Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee. I thought that was the first time I've ever knew about storytelling as a 15-year-old watching it then. And so I kind of grew up seeing CM Punk, and he was really the reason that I got into storytelling at WWE. So seeing him back too, and also seeing his matches with John Cena in the past as well. And like I said, Daniel Bryan is just weird to see him back still. Cause I haven't seen him in WWE television for years at this point. So I think for me, it'll be really interesting what they do moving forward with him. And that's just pretty much it for that. I talk about everything else on the show today, but I just wanted to mention that real fast about CFX for me. So.
Yeah. That's so, like it. Anything? Yeah. I'm not sure if you want to comment on that or if you got anything else you want to add. I threw it to Kyle. Just, I wasn't sure if he wanted us to comment on that or if he just was going to move on.
It was kind of just a statement, really, not really a comment, but just in terms of how you feel about the time from his time being where he was then to where he is now, how you think it's going to change, what do you plan on doing with him moving forward even? And I know you talk about the whole Rollins situation, but it is in general just the feel towards it, how you think it's going to be a different feeling now than it was back then, I guess.
Well, so certainly CM Punk saying I'm home and it not being a Vince McMahon-run company, even though he was tighter with Vince than Paul Levesque, it is new ownership. It's 10 years later. Paul Levesque says, hey, we all change. Punk's changed. I've changed. I mean, again, the key difference is he's not anti-establishment like he was back then. It just doesn't make any sense for him to try to be that, I don't think. So I don't know how they get there. So he's just got to be a compelling character who aspires to prove he's still the best and keep it simple. Like, I just don't think we need to complicate this. And I think that's kind of the message they were sending on Monday. It's like, if you like CM Punk, then be okay with him saying he's happy to be here and saying I'm the best in the world and calling out everyone and saying I'm about to prove it. That's just, I mean, it wasn't a nothing promo. It's just people are so used to controversy with Punk. Oh my God, I can't believe he said that. What does that mean? How are people responding? And I think their strategy. Well, I know their strategy.
But I guess it
was
just really quick because it was. I think for you it was a really quick promo for what it was. But it wasn't bad. It was just, I guess it was quick. I don't think it was bad anything. But yeah, that's what you mean.
Yeah, and I think they just want to show he can be stable. Like, he isn't going to be this crazy eyed guy just, you know, going off on people and seeming like he's always got a gripe and he's always carrying a grudge and he can't let anything go. And they just wanted to show we are a place where someone like him isn't going to be triggered into that side coming out. And it was a good start in that sense because that was their goal. And I think they're willing to take the heat for it not being super newsworthy. But the fact is unlike AEW, he said, I'm the best in the world and I want to take on the best. And AEW is like, I don't know if I can still do this. Aw, shucks, I want to work with the young guys. So it is markedly different in that way, even if, you know, it is happy Punk, but not disgruntled Punk. You know, and critics will say, just give it time, and there'll be something, but maybe not. Punk is a legend. He built his legend 10, 12, 14 years ago. That's fine, even predating that in our age. Let him now just be a really good wrestler who you'd like to see perform, cutting babyface promos against heels. Or babyface rivals, and just enjoy that for what it is. Everyone wants Punk to be newsworthy and breaking the fourth wall and all that stuff. And it's like, no, just let him be a really good pro wrestler. And I just think if you like him, that should be enough. Javier, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I personally was super happy with his promo on Raw because it was like, I don't have to parse anything about what he's saying. You know, was this a veiled shot at this guy? Was this a shot at this guy? I was just, and then the only quote unquote veiled shot he took was obviously meant for Seth Rollins, which he's feuding with. So I'm like, you know, I, that's where I want, I just don't want the drama that comes with it. I just want to see him, like you said, just cut a promo, maybe say some, you know, gnarly stuff to get under Seth Rollins' skin, because that's who he's going to be feuding with. That's all I want to see. I want to see him, like, maybe play head games with the guy, but I just want to see him involved in a wrestling match and not have to worry about, like, the meta pipe bomb stuff and you know, controversy for controversy's sake. I just want to see a straight up. I want to face him because I'm better than him. You know, I'm better than him. That's what I want to see. You know.
Yep.
And granted, I don't have the same kind of baggage with baggage is not the word, history with CM Punk, because I dropped out of wrestling right around the time that he was on his ascent. So I missed his entire WWE run, which, you know, he was basically the counterculture because everybody hated what the WWE had become. And he was like the one breath of hope that, you know, hey, maybe this is the guy who's going to, he's the only thing that felt kind of like, you know, like a life preserver for what were your hardcore fans. So I didn't have to live through that. So I don't have that kind of attachment to the counterculture CM Punk. So I just want to see him wrestle and have a decent, you know, straight up feud.
Kyle, back to you.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not that big of that huge fan of Punk, but I am okay with him being back. So I'm okay with it. I'll talk about is the U.S. title situation. I know you kind of backed it a little bit, but I am glad that they have that old, now they have Logan Paul back on TV. Hopefully we'll show more regularly now that, you know, Roman Reigns is really on the show to have two asset champions, but now with this tournament, now they have something to fight over with these people for. And I think having, like, just like you said before about Kevin Owens, and, you know, he's pretty much going to be the favorite, probably going to win this tournament, you know, probably. And I am happy though to see more establishments of seeing more of Kevin Owens and Grayson Waller. I think that's why I watched SmackDown 4 for the mid card and for the women for the most part. It's really much what interests me for SmackDown at this point, because, like, the tag team division is, like, not, it's like non, it's like non-existent on SmackDown, feels like. And so it's like the mid-card situation with the U.S. championship is cool. So I'm intrigued how this is going to work out. And then with Escobar and him being him in this heel world, too, I think it's cool as well. But in terms of just in general, with the tournament for the U.S. title, I think it's a good filler but good use to good TV time for the next couple of weeks for SmackDown moving forward. And I think it's a cool thing to make me interested on the SmackDown than just the women. So that's just as well as comment on that, but that's a different call.
Thanks, Kyle. Yep. The tournament has Santos Escobar, Dragon Lee, Karrion Kross, Bobby Lashley, also Grayson Waller, Austin Theory, Kevin Owens, and that mystery NXT wrestler. So we could even see Austin Theory against Grayson Waller at some point. I don't know if the actual brackets are out and at what point they would face each other, and thus the likelihood goes down if we get all the way to the finals if they're on separate sides. But that is the lineup. Thanks for your call, Kyle. Javier, anything you want to add to what Kyle said?
No, I'm looking forward to see what they do with this tournament, because I'm now starting to wonder if this is just Triple H coming up with a tournament of his own to compete with Dynamite and Collision.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee says, "Hey, Wayne and Javier, I'm sorry I couldn't call in live, but college football is my thing, and I've been a little more focused on it tonight. My first thought, though, was on the Logan Paul and the U.S. title tournament. I like the idea of a tournament, mainly because Logan is a part-time guy. What are your thoughts on it? I don't like the thoughts of Santos and Dragon Lee again, and there are a lot of heels in it. I think it makes U.S. title feel important because KO is in it. And who do you think the NXT guy is, and is KO ultimately Logan's opponent?" So of the list I mentioned, so we don't know the NXT guy, so it could be him. Logan Paul's a heel. He's not going to face Grayson Waller or Austin Theory. Karrion Kross, they could turn babyface and have him go against Logan, but that would be a surprise. Bobby Lashley's getting cheered, but I don't think they are going to turn him babyface, and that would happen you know, full on if he took on Logan. Santos Escobar's not going to get sidetracked with that. So, I mean, it really seems like unless they're going to turn like Waller or Austin Theory babyface, they're the only two heels here, or Karrion Kross. I don't think any of that's likely. I'm just sort of trying to come up with something. It's going to be Owens or the NXT guy. I mean, the tournament is set up that way. So we'll get some good matches, but it is kind of weird because it does feel like we're headed towards a pretty obvious conclusion. I mean, the Continental Classic has a lot more mystery in terms of who's going to win, even though it's less mystery than I wanted, because I imagine and hope the Continental Classic would just be the tournament of all tournaments in AEW with every top guy. But between schedules, logistics, injuries, and wrestlers with separate things going on, like Samoa Joe with the World Title Feud, they just couldn't put everybody in it. So, but this, Javier, it's hard to, even if I try my best, to come up with anyone besides KO or maybe the NXT mystery guy to be a decent pick to win it.
I mean, is Dragon Lee in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see Dragon Lee just because it was Mysterio, you know, who it was Logan Paul beat Mysterio, and yeah. Lee winning it could just drive Santos more into rage, and then, you know, if Lee were to win it, then you have Santos coming after Lee for the title.
Yeah, and I the only reason I haven't gone – well, not the only reason, but the main reason I'm not picking him is they just had him lose, and – to Escobar, and I think if they're going to have him go and be a credible opponent to Logan, they wouldn't have gone that route.
Well, if he beats Escobar in the rematch, if that's like, you know, one of the matches, and he beats Escobar on his way there, you know, that's the I still think it's Kevin Owens most likely, but that, yeah. I'm just saying that it is a there is a path for Dragon League.
If he beats Escobar, gets a rematch, looks good. And they just want to, you know, have it give Dragon Lee a moment with Logan Paul. I can see that. I accept that as a possibility that doesn't just seem far-fetched and, you know, there could be an interesting story there. And even if Dragon Lee ultimately lost, you know, he'd be a good opponent to create a lot of movement and do some athletic spots with Logan, and Logan likes to do those things. But, man, it sure seems pointed towards KO one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right, Sean also says, my second thought is on Randy Orton signing with SmackDown. I think it's the right move because they need more star power. And I think Randy and Roman will be a fun feud going into the Rumble. And I definitely did not see him RKOing Nick Aldis, even though it was out of nowhere. Anyway, Javier, you are awesome. Wade, you're the best at covering wrestling. I love all the callers. And everyone, go VIP. It's worth every penny, I promise. Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Anything to add to the Orton discussion, Javier?
No. I mean, I just have to say he does look weird to me. It's going to take a while for me to get used to his new look.
To the what?
To his new look.
Orton's being all muscular?
And his face being more, you know.
Bloated, filled out, whatever. Yeah. Yes. I'm trying to think if there's any. I think we've pretty much covered everything on the show, Javier. I know you're battling a cold, so I said we'd try to get out of here and not go too long tonight. I don't know that I have much else. What do you think of Bianca Belair's just kind of demeanor, performance, being the one to be gracious and thank her teammates and cut that promo before being interrupted? I thought it was it was short until, you know, it was interrupted. There wasn't a lot to it, but I thought it was good, and I liked opening the show with her, even if it was a little irksome maybe for the live audience to have her just standing there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, she did a good job, just really kind of wish something would happen in the women's division to shake things up a little bit. One thing I did want to with the whole Butch thing, out on his own right now, and then getting attacked by Pretty Deadly there. Do you think that this is just Sheamus coming back, or? Could maybe he get help from, say, maybe like a Tyler Bate, since they used to be a, you know, team together? So what were they called? British Strong Style, I think.
Yep. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, I was thinking, who are they going to team him with? That's the type of angle where that's where they're headed. I doubt he's just going to face Pretty Deadly in one-on-one matches. So yeah, maybe Sheamus returns and he just teams. So like, do you know the timetable for Sheamus right off?
No idea. That's what I was thinking, more Tyler Bate, because I know he hasn't been around since he unified the belts, right? On NXT?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been that long. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see him, cause it kind of feels like they're going in that direction, and they're pushing cause the commentary was pushing that he hasn't spoken to Sheamus in like months. And,
yeah.
So that was also like talked about. So I could see him just, you know, maybe shed the Butch name and become Pete Dunne with, and team up God, his name is Gaskin Londe. So, but yeah.
Yep.
Tyler Bate, there we go. Wow.
Yep.
Like, no, it's not Andrew.
All right. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up there. Thank you to our callers, our on-site correspondent, and Javier, I appreciate you joining us tonight,
well,
especially because you're getting over a cold.
On a completely not wrestling related thing, strongly recommend Wade check out the new Godzilla movie, the Godzilla Minus One Japanese
movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. Saw it 2 nights ago, and yeah. It's probably my favorite movie of the year. A really good movie. So.
Cool. I will make note of that, and I appreciate the recommendation, and others should listen to Javier too.
All right. Have a good night, Wade.
Yep. Thanks, Javier. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow night after Collision.